This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The economy is job one.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. If the markets were open today here in the United States, we would probably be talking about reaction to Team Obama's economic meeting today. But Wall Street is closed for Good Friday. European markets, too. As it stands now, the only market gauge we have comes from Asia, where the business day is already done, and where investors digested some good bank news and Japanese stimulus. In Tokyo, the Nikkei was up about 0.5% today. In Hong Kong, stocks shot up 3%. The Dow ended its short week at 8083, up more than 3% yesterday. NASDAQ and S&P shares shot up as well. Well, Asian investors can thank Wells Fargo profits for some of the hikes there. And of course, the big news today is Japanese Prime Minister Taro Aso's unveiling of a $150 billion stimulus package. It includes money for unemployment and training for re-employment and housing subsidies.
All these things are temporary measures which are meant to jolt the economy back into life because really it's very dire here.
Jeff Kingston is a professor of Asian studies at Temple University in Tokyo. He says the government's walking a fine PR line in this expensive and expansive program.
They're already talking down expectations, which I thought was rather interesting, given that this is the largest economic stimulus they've ever had, and it's going to lead to the government issuing a record level of bonds to fund this deficit.
Now, here at home, President Obama's economic team is gathering at the White House in a little more than an hour. Heavy hitters will be talking about the continued fallout and what other measures can be taken to reverse it. Marketplace's Steve Henn joins us now from Washington. Steve, what is on the agenda?
Well, most of the president's big economic advisors are going to be there. Larry Summers, the Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, the Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, as well as the nation's top bank regulators, Sheila Bair, and the Comptroller of the Currency, John Dugan. So what they're going to be talking about, really, it sounds like it will run the gamut of all of the administration's reform initiatives thus far. They're going to review their efforts to stabilize the housing market. They're going to talk about efforts to clean up bank balance sheets and provide banks with enough capital to weather this financial storm. And of course, one of the big pending pieces of business out there that the markets are really waiting for is any word on how the nation's biggest banks are faring with these so-called stress tests that are going on right now.
So let's talk a little bit about those tests then. What's the end game there?
Well, you know, when these tests were initially designed, they were set up in many ways as a test that banks really couldn't fail. So what regulators are trying to get a sense of is how well-positioned the country's major financial institutions are to withstand a big economic storm. So they're looking at how their assets would fare if unemployment rose above 10% or if housing values fell another 25%. And the idea is that if banks show signs of real distress in that environment, that regulators are going to ask them to go to the private markets and raise more money, probably through issuing new stock. And if they can't do that, then the government has said that taxpayers will come back and invest in these institutions again. You know, it's a delicate issue. They don't want to sort of tar any bank with a black brush and say this bank is doomed. But they want to make sure that if the economy continues to sour, that all these big banks have the resources they need to get through the storm.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thank you.
Sure thing.
You're listening to The Morning Report on Friday, April 10th, 2009 at marketplace.org. Of course, today is Good Friday, and this weekend marks the end of Lent. That's a time when many Christians stay away from meat, sweets, or alcohol. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Jennifer Collins reports on eco-fasting for Lent.
For Lent this year, Mary Hetherington went on a carbon fast. She bought organic produce, she paid for a high-level cleaning of her furnace, and she learned a lesson.
It's a little bit more expensive sometimes to be more conscious of what you're buying.
Hetherington also helped lead a class of more than 20 people at her parish in Fresno, California. Instead of just cutting out meat on Fridays, they tried to trim their carbon emissions every day. She's one of many Christians around the globe going eco-friendly for Lent this year. Businesses are starting to notice. Marketing consultant David Almy says Christians are talking much more about sustainable consumption.
Anytime you hear about any group getting ready to go green, it's exciting.
So does that mean priests will start hearing, "Bless me, Father, for my carbon footprint is too large"?
I don't know that I would actually count that as one of the things that I would go into confession on at this point.
But Hetherington says she plans to make the carbon fast a permanent part of her life. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Banks had a great day on Wall Street yesterday, but that's been the exception rather than the rule. For the last several months, the credit card arms of banks have been rapidly retreating from liberal lending policies of the past, cutting people off, slashing credit limits, and raising rates. The latest case, Bank of America, raising interest rates on some of its credit card customers, making life harder for people who don't pay their balances in full every month. Here's more from Tamara Keith.
Varenga DeMel has had a great interest rate on his Bank of America card for years, below 10%. But he just got a letter saying that's changing.
The standard rate for new and outstanding purchase balances is increasing.
His interest rate is going up to 14%, and he's not alone. DeMel wonders why the bank would do something like this to good customers like him. He doesn't even carry a balance.
But, oh well.
Spokesperson Betty Reese says B of A is raising rates to match current market conditions.
You know, the bottom line, it's the cost to lend has significantly increased.
But some consumer groups aren't buying it. Curtis Arnold is the founder of CardRatings.com.
And I think it's just another reason for them to try to squeeze their cardholders, truth be told.
If customers want to reject the rate increase, Bank of America says they can, but then they can't charge anything more and have to pay down the balance. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
We heard this week that California wine is flying off the shelves, and the cheaper, the better. But things are a little less flush for French wines. From Paris, Anita Elash reports.
If you bought one of the top grades of Grand Bordeaux wine last year, it probably set you back at least a couple of $100. This year, you might try looking for it in the bargain basement. Even the best-known chateaus have slashed prices by at least 40%. Producers say the bottom has fallen out of the luxury wine market. Restaurants and hotels can't sell the Bordeaux they already have in stock, so they're not buying any extra. Other French wines are suffering, too. Even champagne has lost its sparkle. Sales have dropped between 10 and 30% since September. French producers say it's not the end of the world, though. 2008 wasn't a great vintage year anyway. They figure people will eventually drink the wine in their cellars, and then they'll be primed for more. In Paris, I'm Anita Elash for Marketplace.
If you're heading to the movie theater tonight, keep your eyes peeled for a new trailer. It's not produced by Hollywood. This one comes straight from the halls of the Federal Reserve. Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll explains.
The popcorn's in hand, lights dim, ready for the movie to start, and...
Having trouble keeping up with your mortgage payments? Are you facing foreclosure?
Before sandwiched between ads to turn off your cell phone and buy more milk duds, the Federal Reserve has a message for homeowners. Don't be taken advantage of by foreclosure scams, and go to our website to find out more. Branding expert Rob Frankel.
So the message may not be award-winning, but as long as the data's getting through, that's probably at this point what's more important. I think I'd rather be clear than clever.
Frankel says the Fed's getting a lot for the $9,000 it's spent on the ad. The ad will play for a week to an undistracted audience in 9 of the states hit worst by foreclosures. Community rights advocate Jesse Van Tall points out one problem. The Fed's message is simple, but scammers tailor their talk to individuals.
These foreclosure prevention scammers are really reaching people everywhere.
Everywhere except in the place they go to escape. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
French people caught repeatedly pirating music, movies, or games over the web could lose their internet connections. The French government is expected to push through a controversial anti-piracy law after Easter. From the European Desk, Stephen Beard reports.
The proposed law is based on the principle of three strikes and you're out. Illegal downloaders will first get a warning email, then a warning letter, and if they do it again, they'll get banned from accessing the internet for up to a year. The government lost the first vote on the bill yesterday, but will introduce it after Easter. Edouard Barrero is a consumer advocate who campaigns against the measure. He thinks it will become law because of intense domestic lobbying.
I think that the law will pass in France because the president of France has the will to do it.
The president wants it to happen?
Yes, because his wife works in the industry of music. She's a singer.
He's doing it for Carla's sake?
Yes, exactly.
Carla Bruni isn't the only one backing the new law. The UK's music industry body is also pushing for something similar in Britain. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Crack of the bat means baseball season's off and running. But if off-season numbers mean anything, teams will likely be crying foul. Business of Sports commentator Diana Nya joins us now to talk about it. Diana, what are we hearing from teams going in?
Well, let's take a quote from the White Sox chief marketing officer. He says, "We are going to have to fight and kick and scratch and claw to even break even this year."
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
You know, ball clubs, of course, used to make some good money from sponsors, right? I mean, those logos that you see on the ballpark or on the programs, the so-called official sponsor of
the
team.
Sure, sure.
Are sponsors as eager to get in on the action?
Well, you know, I mentioned the White Sox. I mean, you know, there's a devastating situation. Their three biggies were Motorola in terrible trouble in Chicago anyway. So for this year, you know, that's a wipeout. Buick was one of their big sponsors.
Yeah.
GM. They've lost them as well. And of course, there's Bank of America, which is the overall sponsor of Major League Baseball, and they still have a presence. But as far as the White Sox go, in Chicago, they really had LaSalle Bank, which is now bought and acquired by B of A, and LaSalle has gone under. So they've lost their three major sponsors, and they're just scrounging around to get the smaller guys to fill in and just try to get through this year, as a lot of people are.
So smaller guys, it's going to take a lot of smaller guys to fill these big shoes.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And the Red Sox are a great example of that. They lost, as the White Sox did, their biggies too. PC Connection, Nikon were their biggies. But now even the Cambridge Eye Center, I mean, you know, just the local guy down the street, almost like the Cheers bar, you know, they're not in the Red Sox business this year either.
What does this mean, Diana, then, in the scheme of selling baseball as an entertainment value?
You know what I think? The analogy is a little bit like all of us. If you look at your stock portfolio and you say, oh my God, am I going to jump off a cliff or am I going to stay tight and hope that, you know, even over the next couple of years, I could break even. I'm not making money anymore. Maybe I will again in 5 years. I think that's what Major League Baseball is realistically saying. Payroll is down, and that's unheard of. 14 of the 30 teams this year have a smaller payroll than they did last year. And who knows, you know what? That could bode well for the future. We've all been saying, why should these people, we love them, they entertain us, but why should they make that kind of money? Well, this year, they had to accept scaling back. So it may scale back for the future, which I think is good, you know, for the big future of baseball.
Sounds like a correcting market.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
All right. Business of Sports commentator Diana Nya, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Hope you can join us at our website, marketplace.org, for the latest Fallout coverage in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too.
Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.